What's going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Coffee and Van Chats. My name is John Kroom, and if you haven't already, please make sure you hit that subscribe button, leave us a review. It really helps out a lot. And thank you guys for coming back week after week after week, as well as ordering our new coffee from Top Tube Coffee Roasters called 15 Degree Limit. It really means a lot. Along with that, we have some mugs and some cycling clothing, which is coming out soon. So be sure to hit me at info@johncroomcycling.com to get a part of the mailing list so you can be a part of those pre-orders and all those other good things. But anyways, let's go ahead and dive into this week's episode with Lucas Burgoyne. Lucas used to ride for Elevate KHS, just recently signed with the U23 team Action out of the US. They're a pretty dominant team, which is really exciting. We were worried if they were even going to be a team next year. So the fact that they're here and ready to roll and going to Europe is really exciting. But Lucas just broke his wrist, and we dive into that and how he's handling the process and the training, as well as the nerves to get over to Europe. So please sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode. Let's dive into it. This episode is brought to you by Spot, a zero deductible injury insurance for active people. Spot starts for as little as $25 a month. So if you haven't already checked this out yet, I don't know what you're doing. I know you guys are active. I know you guys are out exploring and accidents happen. Spot covers up to $20,000 per injury. So that means if you're injured three times within the year, they will cover up to 60 grand that year. So I know it sounds too good to be true, but all you have to do is go to kroom.getspot.com. That is kroom.getspot.com to check it out. Get your free quote today. It's easy as that. So kroom.getspot.com. This episode is also brought to you by Twisted Spoke Apothecary. They're based here in Colorado Springs, and if you're in Colorado Springs, be sure to check them out on Garden of the Gods Road. They're cyclists. That's what makes their company that much cooler. They have CBD coffee, CBD kombucha, as well as just kombucha and cold brew. Yeah, they have some of the best CBD here on the market right now, and it's coming from cyclists. So you know you're getting that high quality, good product. I've been using it for the last 30 days now before I go to bed, and I've been recovering great. It's been awesome. So be sure to check them out at twistedspokeapothecary.com. You can use code KROOM10 at checkout to get 10% off your first order. This episode is brought to you by Bike Hardcore. I am tired of seeing you guys show up with dirty bikes, and Bike Hardcore can help you out with that by using their whip wipe and their chain degreaser, as well as finishing it off with the chain butter. But I'm also tired of you guys just pretty much smelling bad. And you can use their new product, which is Swexy Clean, which you can spray on shoes, boots, gloves, whatever. And so, yes, that goes for you skiers as well. You can spray this on sweaty gear. You can wash your clothes in it, and it eliminates that sweat smell. And so you won't be smelling all bad and whatever else. But anyways, if you want to go check it out, go to www.bikehardcore.com and use code KROOM at checkout to get 10% off your order. And that is KROOM, C-R-O-O-M, at www.bikehardcore.com. Man, what a wild week it has been here in Colorado Springs, Colorado. It has been snowing for the last 2 days, and let me just say that the trainer rides have been somewhat unbearable, but luckily I have chamois butter, which changes the game completely. I'm a huge fan of the Euro style, and that keeps my skin cool and protected on those long trainer rides, so I'm not chafing or pretty much struggling to sit down on the couch after a long workout. But they make 5 different types of product that is specifically made for you, and you can check that out at chamoisbutter.com. That's chamoisbutter.com. What's going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Coffee and Van Chats. I'm here with Lucas Burgoyne, and I did not butcher that. So all you race promoters out there that have butchered it over the years for pronouncing it wrong when he crosses over the line, get that. I got it right on the first time. Anyway, Lucas, how you doing, man? Where you at right now?
I am in Austin, Texas. Just taking a pretty chill night. Glad to be on here with you, dude.
Yeah, there's got to be something in the water in Austin, because it's like you, Colin Strickland, Chris Tully, isn't he from those neck of the woods as well? Like you got elbows, and man, there's got to be something in the water. So give me a little bit of background of the Austin race scene, like the vibes of the Austin race scene.
It is insane. I mean, you know, you named, you know, the infamous Chris Tully and then Colin Strickland. But, you know, we also got Lawson. Lawson, Nate Brown, you know, so a lot of, I think we had a little bit before my time, but Gavin was here, Mannion. I mean, it is a cool duo, because you got everything from DK go all day winner to, you know, break 40, break 2000 watts, Chris Tully. And somehow I slot in there, finding my place slowly but surely, because I've been up here for, I guess, a year and a half now. But yeah, I mean, it's one
right.
paper race scene.
So how old are you?
I'm 19 right now.
Okay, so let's be honest, because some of those guys are a lot older than you.
Yeah.
And we never want to make anybody a fangirl of the podcast. I get that. Like, you got to play it cool, right? But who were you a fan of any of those guys? Like, is there one guy that really stuck out to you, or a girl for that matter, that like really that you looked up to before you entered the sport? Or when you got into the sport, you're like, man, I got to meet that guy because I want to beat that guy one day.
I think my first race, local Texas race, and you know Heath Blackgrove by any chance?
I know of him. Yeah.
So he's like kind of Texas legend, was on team with all those guys. And he kind of introduced me to Colin. I'd say it was like, I have this picture when I'm like 14, first pro 1-2-3 driveway.
Yeah.
Me and Colin sprinting to the line. And I was like, and he just nipped me. And I was like, all right. It's this rainy, gnarly crit, like Tristan Yule, Colin, a couple other local Texas guys. And it's just like, and then now Colin's one of my favorite guys to train with and smash.
Yeah.
He just has that mentality of let's just go out and mess crap up while we train, go hard.
No, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Cause like, that's one of the things that like, when I got into cycling, I got into cycling around your age, like at 19.
Yeah.
And I remember being a fangirl at like 19, like looking up to a lot of these guys and then having the luck of racing with some of these guys and being on teams with some of these guys. Like, and so I'm just kind of wondering, like, from being 14, cause you know, this whole, I mean, you've probably heard about it, the whole, ODA program, the whole goal of it, right, is to create this like master class program that juniors look up to and want to aspire to be a part of. So yeah, I was just curious on that, but, anyways, now kids are going to be looking up to you, man.
Yeah.
Like you've moved on from Elevate, which is pretty sick, but you've moved on to Action.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's pretty cool to have the chats of like, how did that even come into the talks? Like, I'm assuming you've been talking to them for a few years now.
Yeah.
Because you got signed during a pandemic with no race results in 2020, just about like everybody else. Right.
Yeah,
and so, walk us through the process. How did that conversation happen? How did you keep them interested? And how did that all go?
I've been talking with Axel since, I guess, my 18. So when I was race age 18, I guess I'm race age 20 now. Now I feel old, but
you feel old. Jesus Christ, so old. I can't even have a beer yet.
I feel so old. But
like, your race age can't even give you a beer.
I know. I had a pretty lackluster 17-year-old, was still kind of figuring my way out from, I'd come over from running. I was still kind of learning the ropes of how everything was going. Got, you know, took my punches, got my licks and whatever. And then 18-year-old year, I was like, all right, this is how you have to do it. Kind of figure out how training went. And then I kind of just started ticking off race results at some Nations Cup races and some of the bigger national races, kind of qualify, get on those U.S. teams and whatnot. And then it was actually at some Texas race. I think it was Harder Than Hell or something. I'm like lining up for the race, you know, checking out the gram, and Axel, all of a sudden I get a DM from Axel Merckx. Like, yeah.
Okay.
I was like, this is definitely like, at least he knows, like, this is the way to reach the young generation. Just go through the
DM. Yeah. Just slide in the DMs.
Yeah, dude. Axel Merckx slid in my DMs, which is pretty cool. And you know, we talking for a while there, and I was on Elevate at the time.
And that was right before a race. So like set us up in context here. Cause like I've had some crazy texts before a race that have really affected my race.
Yeah.
So what's the time frame? Like, you're walking out the door to go to the race. So it's like a few hours before, or it's like, oh crap, it's like 20 minutes. I'm rushing the start line. Let me check my phone real quick.
Yeah. It's, kinda it's I am like in the car, you know, getting pinned into a skin suit or something, and I'm like, my dad's pinning it up on me, and I, yo, check this out, man. Like,
look. Was it a blind DM, or did you DM him first?
No, I didn't even know I was on their, I mean, I knew I had good results, but yeah. I didn't even know I was on their radar, just because, I mean, I was racing for, when I was a junior, my last year junior, I was racing for Elevate and doing some guest riding for the pro team, since I couldn't, you know, do, I did Redlands with.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember seeing that, because like, I didn't know who you were. And I was riding with Gavin at the time with Team Pursuit program. Uh-huh. I think this was like a couple of years ago. And you were like the only kid that wasn't on Lux.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. No, yeah, I'd come from Hot Tubes.
Okay.
And I just, you know, went to Elevate, and yeah, I just found it worked for me. I got to race a little bit with the pro team, with the idea of, all right, when you turn of age and can race pro, you'll kind of just know the program. We think you're really good. You'll know the program, and then we can just move you right in. And so that's kind of how that all worked. Yeah, I was just at a race, and Heath, the guy I was talking about, he's like, so would you like to go to Redlands with the pro team? And I was like, yeah, that sounds pretty good. Yeah. I was on the, like, their masters team or whatever, with the intent of racing with the pro, but I didn't know, like, I didn't know what I'd be racing or anything. And so it came around the first race of the season. And then from there, it just kind of started all rolling pretty well for me that whole year. And so fast forward on talking with Axel, and then go to DMZ. It's like this Nations Cup over in South Korea, which was insanely sick. And I had a gnarly crash there, and then kind of communication went silent for a little while. They went with some more European guys for that season. And I was like, okay, you know, just put my head down, work hard. You know, there's a lot of race opportunities at Elevate. And then, you know, season, I had a hot Texas start, but then all of a sudden, when all the big racing was supposed to hit, season went out the window. And then I started talking with Axel probably August of this year again. I kind of kept in touch with him and Jeff, who does all the, does directing for the team as well. And I kept in touch with him throughout the year. Like, this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm ticking off. Like, this is how I'm improving, blah, 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 because I mean, you can't see it because we're not racing right now. And it was very interesting, because the year before, you know, it's more of like, what are your race results? Who do you know? Like, you know, kind of all that normal stuff to get into a team. And then with Corona, it was like, what are your power numbers? It was like, this is our only form of, if we know if you're good or excelling at all. So what are your power numbers? That's all we care about. And so I sent him a bunch of numbers, and then now we're here 3-4 months later. I'm stoked. So stoked. But
you know, that's awesome. And so let's dive into that a little bit, in the sense of, you know, power numbers versus race results. So Zwift became a whole thing, right?
Yeah.
And so obviously you could just look at me through the camera. You can't even see my lower body, yeah. But you know that Zwift is not going to be my forte, even with a 400 watt plus threshold at altitude. It's not a chance. And so would you say it was easier to get signed to Action from power numbers or from race results? Or would you think it's like a mixture of both? Like, it's like, hey, I have these race results, and here's how my power numbers have improved.
I would say, I mean, looking from, I didn't get signed off results, but then got signed the next year off power numbers, I'd say probably easier with numbers. You know, it's just a weird balance, you know, like if they see a kid, like a climber type, and they're like, oh my God, he can do 6.5 watts per kilo and he's 12. We found the next, you know, we found the next guy, like gold mine. Whereas I'm not like super big, but I'd say I'm more of a punchy sprinter type. You know,
but you're doing like 1800 watts, right?
Yeah. Not quite that much, but like 1700 around is I'm almost there. 1692.
I was about to say, like, cause I've followed you on Instagram for a little while, and I've seen you're you have a little bit of younger Chris Tully in you, in a sense of like the trolling of the power numbers. Cause I love following Chris just cause it's like, he'll do 8 minute efforts and he'll say an absurd number. Yeah. And I know he's telling the truth. It's like, I just did like 450, 460 for 8 minutes or whatever.
Yes.
And you're just like, that's absurd. But I just like straight rage watts. And so like you take pictures of your power numbers and I know they've always been tended to be high.
Yeah.
Pretty high.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm not heavy. I'm like, 148 or something like that. So that's kind of my, what I would lean towards, what I enjoy. I really enjoy sprinting and like that exhilaration from, oh my God, there's 1 minute left in this 4 hour ride we just did. And you can blow it all in a snap of the fingers. It's just, I would say it's, and as I was saying, like that type of rider doesn't get signed as often solely because you can't tell, you got to race a sprinter versus a climber. If they can do something crazy like that, they're going to be fine on a mountain anywhere versus someone like that. If I could have absurd numbers, but if I can't navigate a pack at the end of the race, I'm worthless.
You're screwed.
Any team. So
how we got in contact is this broken wrist thing that you got going mm-hmm. on. And this is like a soft plug for Spot, in the sense that, I mean, if you would have had Spot, you wouldn't have had to pay anything out of pocket.
Yeah.
And you've never heard about Spot before this.
No.
Right. Yeah. And so it's anywhere from like $22 a month.
Yeah.
And you're 19 too. So you're like you're probably still coasting on the parents' insurance. If not, Action's going to help out with some insurance, right? Because I remember the day I turned 26, I didn't have health insurance. I break my collarbone and, it was $12,000, dude. I got really lucky that like USA Cycling had some insurance, but there was still a $5,000 deductible, which was nuts.
Yeah.
But like with Spot, it's like $22 a month. And then it starts at $22 a month and covers up to 20 grand per injury. So if you break your wrist four times in a year, that's 80 grand, which is insane to think about. Like 100% sounds too good to be true.
Yeah.
But walk us through the wrist break. Cause I mean, I think moments before I got your phone number to reach out for this podcast where I was told that you broke your wrist, you're probably down in the dumps, you're probably a bit bummed. I think I was reading the article that released that the new signings of Action, which a team that I thought was going to fold.
Yeah.
And again, I've followed you. I know you have a lot of passion, man. Like you put a lot of hard work in and it's obvious.
Yeah.
And so tell me what was going through your head. Tell me what happened, like how that all went down.
Yeah. So we were crushing Camp of Champs, which is,
I'm familiar with Camp of Champs. Yeah, dude.
We were going hard. And it was,
that's a Jim Miller thing, isn't it?
Yeah. It was all the guys.
Okay.
We had Lawson, Nate, those are the two leaders of the whole thing. And pretty much, I'd say like, Lawson just loves racing, man. Like, and that's
how
we do it. Like, we'll have specific intervals, and Lawson will basically be like, all right, so we got to do tempo. So we're just going to rotate. And then the last 5 minutes, we got to go really hard. So we're just going to attack the crap out of each other. And so that's pretty much, it just turned into a race. Camp of Champs is a like 2 week, 1 week long race series of just going as hard as you can at certain points.
What was the longest, but it's big hours. It's not like, it's not even like a 15-hour week.
No. It's like, I think the first week was 25, 26.
And I think how much TSS?
I don't even know what TSS is, man. No.
There you go.
People ask me that all the time. I'm like, great. I don't even know.
You don't know. So like, so I guess for an example, and the reason why I was asking that is because, a lot of people, it's like 27 hours. Okay. Yeah. It's just volume.
Yeah.
But I know you guys were riding hard.
Yeah. I want to say, I mean, I got training peaks, right? It had to be absurd. Every day we're coming in with like, normalized, like at least I would like 300 normalized, 315 normalized, just like full gas. I mean, yeah, we'd go, we'd go till we do like three race efforts a day to where you're literally just like, you just blow up, but that was essentially what we're doing. We were racing along this road in Austin and I'm with, we did two team time trials. My guy and my buddies were first, and then Lawson wasn't even there that day because, dude, we all got messed up at this camp. It was the death camp of champs. Lawson fell down some stairs and messed up his knee the day before. Jeez. I go under a car and break my wrist.
So were you hit by a car?
No. So I was taking a right-hand turn, and it's a road I've ridden a million times, and we're going full tilt through it. But they had put that black slick spot stuff on top to cover something. And I guess my buddy, went through just fine. And I was like, oh, I'm fine, I'm good. And then all of a sudden my back tire just goes out. And so I slide into oncoming traffic. And we're probably going 30 at that point, full gas. And I was just going full gas, 30 miles an hour into a pickup truck. And I was like, oh, this could end really badly. And fortunately it didn't. I got the luck of the draw, managed to navigate my way under the truck unscathed, but breaking my wrist on the top of the truck as I was navigating, kind of getting my body and head through, not connecting with the wheels. It was definitely, it was a scary moment, but we're just raced full gas and then just gone, just out.
Bad luck, yeah.
Yeah, just super bad luck. And I was under the truck. It's like, at first I was like, oh my God, this is it. And then sudden, the pain kicks in and I'm like, I'm still alive. I can tell you I'm still alive because this hurts way too bad to be not.
Yeah. How stoked was the truck driver? I'm assuming he wasn't very stoked.
Dude, the guy never got out of his truck. He just I was screaming back up because he had partially run over the back of my leg. It was kind of trapped, wedged in between the wheel. He stopped just in time before he rolled over my leg.
I get you.
He kind of had my calf muscle trapped in there. But I mean, everything else other than that was fine, but he got out. And once it was really weird. The police were right. I crashed right in front of, it was a three-way intersection. I'm going this way, truck's coming this way. And then there's a police car sitting right here. So the police pulled up and they're like, all right, you're fine. You didn't do anything. You can go on your, it's not your fault. You can go on your way. It was definitely a scary.
Was he saying that to the truck or was he saying that to,
He was saying that to the truck. Cause I mean, it wasn't the guy's fault. I just ended up under his truck.
But you didn't smash his car.
No. A lifted truck. So it was the only thing to
took the brunt.
Yeah, exactly. I took the beating of it all, but no.
So how long ago was this? Because they usually do Camp of Champs the second week of January or something.
Yeah. So it's about it'll be three and a half weeks now. I think the 12th month, yeah.
Okay, and so what was going through your head? Did you call Axel? Did you call any of those guys, or were you just I need to keep this to myself and just collect myself?
I was very I got the email the next morning. Are you okay? I was like, oh crap. I haven't even told anyone that I've been, my first instinct was I'm sitting there and I'm getting up, getting in the ambulance. I'm like, no, I don't want to get in the ambulance. They're crazy expensive. I've always heard that story at bike races. Don't get in the ambulance unless you have to. It'll
it's true.
Yeah. I mean, the bill came out to be $29,000 for an ambulance ride. And luckily, insurance. Yeah. It was absurd. Jeez. It was a 20-minute ambulance ride and it was crazy like that. But, I was worried about all that. And then I get in the van and obviously they're taking my vitals and taking all this, doing all this stuff. And the guy, they give you whatever you give, they give a rider when, or person when they break a bone to kind of
morphine or whatever.
Yeah. I think it was fentanyl. And he's like, you're going to feel this kind of slam you, you're going to feel like you just had 10 margaritas and they're going to hit you all at once. And I was like,
Oh, wow.
I was like, okay. And it was like, what is fentanyl? Just like out of curiosity, am I going to be on the banned substance list and like get in trouble for this?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, man, it's like 100 times stronger than morphine. And it's like the synthesized form. And I was like, it's like, is that man? I know how dangerous morphine is. Is this like, he's like, oh yeah. And it's dangerous. I was like, all right, I'm good, man. Like the pain's not that bad. I don't need anything like this. Yeah. But yeah, they gave me that. And I mean, I was just cracking jokes the whole way over to with the ambulance guy that was taking care of me. So
for sure.
No, it was definitely a weird experience, but yeah, I texted him the next day, like, oh yeah, I'm okay. Bike's not so okay, but I'm okay.
Yeah.
My wrist has been better, but you know, it's nothing that a little trainer time and whatever, I won't come out stronger from. So.
Yeah. And that stuff happens. So I'm assuming that like those guys were just like, hey, yeah, as long as you're okay, like your health is first. Like I'm just thinking that, you know, the way I worded that question, I'm going to get comments in the bottom. It's like, his health is the number one. We all know his health is number one. I was just, he's a young kid who just signed pro, yeah, you know? So it's like, it's a nerve wracking thing, and people's careers end over injuries. And sometimes we overthink that stuff. Yeah. So, but that's good. So you're back on the bike, I'm assuming. Yeah. You still in a cast? Is that what I see?
Yeah, there? Yeah. I got a nice, I don't know, they call it a sports brace, a sports cast, yeah, but it's really more of a brace.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, it's almost like the cycling shoes, like it's heat molded to my arm and then has a boa on the side. And so it's.
Sweet. Yeah. So when's your first event with Action? So are you going over to Europe with those guys, or cause they're going to be based in Europe, right?
Yes. Yeah. We're based. I mean, that was like, yeah, everything's been moved over to Europe. Whole schedule's European. I could not tell you when the first race is because everything on the U23 schedule keeps getting shuffled. I know I just heard that like it was looking like it was going to be Triptyque at the start of April, first day, yeah, of April. That just got canceled. Then Bretagne, I don't even know how you say something.
Bretagne?
Yeah. That was, yeah, next. And that's canceled or moved. These races are either canceled or moved, but they're not happening on the dates they were supposed to be. So it's looking like mid-April now, but if they keep going the way they're going,
who knows?
Could be, yeah, you know, could be May, could be, you know, hopefully with all this vaccine stuff, it calms things down and people calm down, yeah, and whatnot, but you know, we'll see.
For sure. Well, what's your goals? Like, let's say the vaccine stuff does calm the stuff down. Like, what's your goals for the upcoming, I guess, seasons with Action and so on in your cycling career? Because you're only 19, man.
Yeah. I got a long, sorry about that. I forgot I had something in the oven, so I just kept going. Dude.
No worries, man. No worries.
Man, I don't even know. You know, I first want to figure, like, it's been a long time since I've been in Europe and racing there. I think I raced when I was 17 with the national team and then did national team the next year, but I wasn't on the European stuff. And then, so yeah, I mean, I just got to figure, you know, I would love to be a sprinter. That is what I really like. Sprints and really punchy races, like that is what I really enjoy. So yeah, I mean, we'll see where I go. But I just like, I like either having my teammates win bike races or I like winning bike races. So, you know, I'm not like people always like, what is your dream race? I'm like, dude, any race I can win, that's the dream.
Yeah, for sure. No, I get it, man. I get it. And so that's super cool. So I don't want to keep you all night. We got something in the oven for you. So you're probably gonna smash some dinner here in a bit. But one more question before you roll. We ask everybody this. If you could have coffee with one person, dead or alive, who would that person be? Why? And how would you take your coffee?
I thought a lot about this one when you sent me the question. It's hard to narrow down, man. Like,
yeah,
I think, dude, so like, I would love to Conor McGregor.
Okay.
Dennis Rodman, just
that would be a cool one.
Crazy people that you know, like under, like they cared about, you know, they do and don't care about their image, and they just care about excelling as best as they can as an athlete, you know, like,
yeah,
that's what I want to be. Like, I want to come out with the coolest shades and the iciest, you know, shoes and whatnot. And,
yeah,
you know, like, that's what I enjoy. And that's kind of what I want to bring, you know, channel that myself as I kind of move up and figure out what I'm doing, who I am as a cyclist, and like, just bring that kind of flair. Like, you know, we're all so set. Like, I feel like there's such a, at least when I started, there was such a set way of doing things as a cyclist. Like, you know, you wear your socks this high, or you, you know,
yeah,
do this. And it's like, man, I was a runner and a triathlete before doing all that scene. It's like, why can't I wear my socks ankle low? Why can't I, you know, yeah, like, this is how I was, this is how I came up. I don't, you know, like, I dig the tan lines on my thighs, but I'm not a fan of the ones on my calves. Why don't I just take them off by wearing some ankles, you know, like, so.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't drink coffee, so.
Okay.
I couldn't tell
tea, you. Water, soda?
Water. Water's really good. Water.
Water. There you go. Water. Conor McGregor would probably appreciate that.
Water and
I feel like
athlete hydration drinks, bro.
There you go. Throw that sponsor plug in there. Yeah. Cause usually I'd have somebody on here and be like, oh yeah, what beer would you have? But you can't even have beer yet, even though you think you're old. But well, anyways, man, I wish you the best of luck this season. And if you guys want to follow Lucas, all you have to do is check out the link in the description below. And if you want to check out Spot, check out the link in the description below as well. And yeah, my social media as well, if you can check out that in the link in the description below. Other than that, we'll see you next time. And thanks.